All right, guys, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 21. I'm here with my mother-in-law, the rapidly evolving Deborah Z. And how are you feeling today?
Pretty good. Excited.
Are you feeling anxious?
Yeah.
So we've got a very special guest today. I've kept Deborah in the dark about who it is. She still doesn't know. So, hey guys, we're trying to put together a Q&A episode. So please send us questions, anything, as long as it doesn't have the C word in it, or I can work around it while I'm asking the question to Deborah on air. It's fine. Let's try to keep it not that personal, but feel free to try. The worst that can happen is I don't read it.
That's right.
But we're always trying to interact with you guys, figure out what you want to hear, figure out if you like the format of the show, if there's anything that you think we could do to improve. Just really send us those questions and tell us where you're at and what's going on there. And we can be reached at, what's the email, Deborah?
Deborah gets redpilled at proton.com.
At protonmail.com.
Protonmail.com. That's pretty good off the top of my head, considering,
considering your age, yeah.
And everything you know about me.
Yeah. Guys looking to get in a Proton Mail, they're pretty cool. They're kind of like the Telegram or Signal of email. It's I saw on Twitter a while back, Greg Carlwood posted a pic that Gmail had like fact-checked one of the emails that he received. And it said, like, Greg Carlwood's a great, the host of the great Higher Side Chats podcast. So check that out, guys. That's one of the OGs, along with Ricky Verandas from Ripple Effect. But Higher Side Chats is a great show. He's doing some really important work right now with what's going on. He's kind of shifted his gears to get the word out about health. And he's doing a lot about germ theory versus terrain, just because he feels that it is kind of his duty. So, but he put a picture up that Gmail had fact checked an email that someone had sent to him and said, there's information in this email that could be untrue. That's pretty scary. So look into getting an email account that from a company that's not going to do that to you. And Proton Mail has like a pretty good free service that you can use for that, and then if you want to upgrade, you can like pay a little bit of money in, but we just use the free one and it's fine. You can't send like really large files with it, is the only issue I've had, but other than that, it's good. So hit us up on Twitter, email, Instagram, snail mail, whatever you want.
Tom,
I don't know what that is, but
hitting the tom toms.
Oh, tom-tom drum, smoke signals. Mm-hmm. I live in the Pacific Northwest, so that's probably a big one up here. So Deborah, I want to ask you a question here.
Okay.
Pertaining to, do you have any new business news that you want to get out of the way before we get going?
No, I don't believe I do.
Oh, what did you think of that? That last show was a little tough. That guy was hard to interview.
You know, you can tell that he would be like the super most fun person at a party to talk to,
Yeah.
But I don't know what, I haven't been able to kind of.
So you guys, we didn't put it up on video, but I think he was doing the Zoom on his phone. And I think he was just walking around his apartment the whole time, and he kept, the audio came out okay, but like when we were recording, it was hard to hear him. He kept like leaning his head back, and he was like kept touching his face and his hair and stuff. And it was like really hard to hear him. And, I really need to work on my interview skills, but, we've been lucky enough to have guests that have kind of just like carried the show and been able to talk, but he was, I wish he would have talked more just about Bill Cooper, and I was kind of bummed that the conversation just devolved into like Orange Man bad, just like kind of everything else is these days, you know? But I mean, his book is incredibly good, and I still really recommend it.
It's on its way here.
Oh, you got it? Cool. Mm-hmm. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's like an entertaining read.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool because he like works in all this like pop culture stuff, and he has like a whole chapter on a whole section. The book's broken up into sections with a few chapters per section, and it's just like one kind of subject matter per section. So he has a section all about like how Behold a Pale Horse relates to like the Nation of Islam and like how they used it, and it's got like a whole history on their belief system and like how it came to be, and then how they started using Behold a Pale Horse, and like how you can go up to these open air street markets in Harlem, and like one of the most highly, there's guys that sell books up there, like all these like black nationalist books and stuff like that, but Behold a Pale Horse is like one of the top sellers up there. And he does like a lot of the hip hop stuff. And like I said, he mentioned Gigi Allen in the book. So that was cool. But yeah, that was kind of a hard interview, but I'm glad we got to talk to him, and we're working on it. So, yeah. So Deborah, what's your favorite shape?
Wow. Is a spiral a shape?
Sure.
Okay. Spiral.
Yeah. Do you like squares?
No.
Circles.
Yes.
You like circles?
I like circles.
Do you like circles when it's like three dimensional? Or do you like circles better when they're flat?
Oh my goodness. I think I know where you're going with this. This is interesting. I like them. I like them globular.
Okay.
Globular. Is that a word?
Sure.
Okay.
How about flat?
Like a flat earther?
Yeah.
Interesting. I flat circles are fine too. They look good in chalk on the sidewalk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you guessed it. We're going to do Flat Earth today.
Okay.
And our guest is one of the heavy hitters in the Flat Earth world. His name's David Weiss.
Okay.
And he reached out to us a little while ago. He's kind of doing the rounds on a podcast right now, and he wanted to come state his point to us. So
okay.
I just, you guys listen with an open mind. You don't have to be one way or the other, or you don't have to demonize people for what they believe. And for some reason, this is kind of a topic that really, really upsets people. So you'll probably lose most of your friends, Deborah, after this episode. I hope not, but
I don't have that many left, so it's okay.
Okay.
You know, as you get old, they all.
Yeah.
Will be good.
All right, guys. Well, with that, we're going to pause. We're going to get with our guest. He's in the waiting room, and then we'll be back in a minute. All right.
Okay.
All right, guys, we're back. Our guest is here. This week we've got David Weiss from the Flat Earth podcast, and he's here to talk to us and tell us what he knows. How's it going, David?
I'm going well. Good to be here, Adam and Deborah. Nice to, looking forward to this conversation. I love talking to people that aren't flat earthers. It's getting harder and harder to find, though. You know, it's 2021 and there's less and less people that still believe in the spinning ball. So I enjoy talking to them greatly.
Yeah. You're fresh off your destruction of Brian Callen on the Conspiracy Social Club podcast, which was extremely entertaining. I gave you the W on that debate.
I'll take it.
Obviously. And I guess where I'm at is I am open to anything. That's what I try to tell everybody on this podcast. I don't judge anybody's beliefs, and I'm willing to hear anybody. You know, I'm kind of like, just want to be the, like Art Bell, and just let everybody talk.
You want the truth. Yeah, I have no dog in the race. But the funny thing is, I used to do a conspiracy podcast, and when people suggested that I watch a flat Earth video, I banned them from our social media for being so stupid. Okay, yeah. Like, come on, we've known the Earth for there's been flat, you know, I mean, spherical for 2,000 years. Everything we know, everything we think we know, is all wrong. So, and then Brian Callen, he does a conspiracy show, but he's never honestly looked at flat Earth. And the problem is, people, it's like, okay, I've had it with flat Earth. I'm going to Google flat Earth. If you Google flat Earth, you might as well not do anything, because that's going to take you to the Flat Earth Society, which is a government-run disinformation site to make you laugh at flat Earth, and then you'll dismiss it for the rest of your life. Or if you Google top 10 proofs the Earth is a ball, you're going to get National Geographic. You can get all these paid shill videos that have the most horrible proofs. I'm glad to go over every single one of them. But today, in this conversation, I'm going to say some crazy, insane things. And I'm also going to say some things that you're going to be like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That's pretty simple. And what you're going to notice is the crazy things are about the heliocentric model. And the things that make sense are going to be about the flat Earth model. Okay? Yeah. Then you're going to start asking yourself, like, wow, what do I know? So, go ahead.
So, yeah, Deborah, I'll let her talk in a minute. She's never, I don't think, really got into this or never thought about it. Just probably, you know, heard like Barack Obama make fun of the Flat Earth Society or whatever he did in that press conference. So Deborah, what are your thoughts? Are you open-minded? Are you?
I'm always open-minded. I just can't see how this is going to make sense.
Right.
Well, so I'm a perfect.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're open-minded even to the flat Earth. That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, but the thing is,
you got to listen, right? And then you make your decision.
According to Barack Obama, we don't have time for a meeting of the Flat Earth Society. Okay. You know, and according to Neil deGrasse Tyson, the high priest of scientism, we don't need to talk to flat earthers because the science is settled. Well, science is never settled. And there's always new information. So here's what I would like to do. There's different groups of people. The majority of the world has never looked into flat Earth other than what they've been pre-programmed to believe. Ships go over the horizon, sticks and shadows, day and night, seasons. We live on a ball, science says so. That's all pre-programming. And then when you actually look into it, what the actual model is, that's when things go a little crazy. And the thing is, they also believe that the flat Earth is something that we don't believe it is. They have a false belief in what the flat Earth model is. And that, again, is purposely programmed into people so they never look at it, because what they believe it is ridiculous. And then the third thing is, they don't even understand what the ball Earth model is. Their own model that they live on. They think they understand it because of indoctrination and programming. But we're going to go over today, and I'm going to show you, what your actual model is, which is crazy. Okay. So I have an app. It's called the Flat Earth, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app. I made it because when I was explaining flat Earth to people, they have a hard time visualizing it. So I'd break out the app and I'd show them, and they'd be like, oh, that's how it works. And I actually made the app just for me. It was a demo app. I had it on my phone. I was only going to be the only one with it. And then people loved it. So I published it, and it's the number one app in its category in many countries right now. So, the thing that the app does is it delivers what Google will not deliver you. If you Google, circumnavigation on a flat Earth or whatever, you're going to get garbage from Google. Or if you said, hey, Dave, send me something on the fake moon landings, I sent you a video link. The next video that's going to play is a propaganda piece that Google is going to serve you to try to unteach you what you just learned. So what the app does is it brings all of that together, shows you how the flat Earth works. And let me spend 2.5 minutes showing you the app.
Please.
Clear your head on what the world is. But before I show you the app, I'm going to tell you what the flat Earth is not a disc floating in space. It's not a flat planet with other round planets. It's nothing like that. Think of the flat Earth as the basement of the universe, whatever that means, just the basement of the universe, and it does not move. Excuse me. So a puddle, think about after a rainstorm, there's a you see puddles. A puddle is where water accumulates in the low spot in the land, and the edge of the puddle is just where the land is higher than the puddle. And a pond is a big puddle and a lake is a bigger puddle, okay? So imagine a lake. The shoreline of the lake is the land that's higher than the surface of the water. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Simple, very simple. And if there were some high spots in the middle of the lake that broke the surface of the water, we'd call those islands, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So now think of all of the world's oceans as a gigantic puddle or a gigantic lake. And all of the continents are just high spots, you know, they're islands within the lake. And the shoreline that surrounds the puddle is Antarctica. Antarctica is not a continent at the bottom of the ball. It's the shoreline that surrounds the world oceans. And think about this. Antarctica is the highest land on Earth. You never really heard that. If you go on a boat anywhere to any country, any island, whatever, you can get off the boat and walk into town and go have dinner, do whatever you want. And the lake, you know, it's usually a gradual climb onto the land. If you go to Antarctica, the land is 200 feet over your head. It's that much higher than the water surface. We live in the Antarctic basin. Okay. The whole world, our known world, is surrounded by higher land that's Antarctica. And then we'll talk about what's beyond there. So let me share the app real quick. Show you a bunch of things. You're going to have a bunch of questions and we'll address all of them as we go through the interview. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So you guys can see this. It's on the screen.
Yeah. Just let me say it. So guys, we're recording this on Sunday, but I will release it on Wednesday this week concurrent with the YouTube video, which I normally don't do. And I think if you watch it with these visual aids on YouTube, you'll be doing yourself a great service instead of just listening.
So the sky is a perfect clock, which is going to prove that the Earth is flat and stationary. We'll get into that. The sun is on the hour hand of the clock. And one thing they did is they said, hey, we better make clocks go around twice or they're going to figure it out that it's the sky clock, right? So clocks really only go around once. So the sun goes around once every 24 hours. And if I speed it up, the sun laps the moon once every 28 and a quarter days or whatever the number is. Once every, you know, four or so weeks, once a month. Okay. So the sun marks the hours and the days. The moon keeps tracks of the weeks and the months. If I slow it down and turn on the stars, the star wheel goes around slightly faster than the sun, so slightly that it only laps the sun once a month. So if you think about that, the sun is in the middle of this constellation right now, and in a month, it'll be in the middle of this one, and a month later, it'll be in the middle of Pisces, and in Taurus, or I forget the names of all the constellations, but it takes a year for the stars to lap the sun. So the stars keep track of the seasons and the years. So the sky is a perfect clock. We have to remember that. When we get out of the app, I'll show you some stuff. So if I turn off the stars and I turn on, this is the world time ring. So this shows you all the time zones. So right now it's 4 a.m. in Eastern Australia and it's 8 p.m. in Johannesburg, South Africa. And it's 1 p.m.-ish right on the East Coast in the United States. So this shows you where that works. And if I turn on the time lapse, you'll see that it just spins with the sun. Wherever the sun is, it's 12 noon. And there are all of the other times. And we'll talk about why the sun doesn't light up the whole Earth, which is one of the pre-programmed responses that you have to flat Earth. So when you get this, you'll have lots of questions. And if you hit the question mark, up come all of the questions that you're going to have. You know, hey, what about satellites and GPS? Or, you know, hey, what about Southern flights if you've been looking into it? Or, you know, why the lie? That's always a big one. We'll get into that. But if you click like why the lie, up comes a playlist of videos all about why the lie. These are all videos that Google will not serve you. So So this will answer all of your questions. And then also in here, we have other resources, other flat earth friendly shows, other stuff like mud floods and all sorts of information in there that all relates to flat earth. We have different languages for those of you that don't speak English so well. But what I say is every day there's a new video that shows up here, the featured video of the day. If you hate flat earth, I say, get the app, take the Flat Earth App Challenge, watch the video of the day every day for 2 weeks, and then you'll be done. You'll know that you don't live on a spinning ball. And what happens is people say, hey, Dave, you know, I saw you on the so-and-so show and I bought your stupid app for $2.99 and I didn't want to wait every day. So I clicked the archive button, which is right next to the featured video. And up on the archive video comes the current month of all of the videos. And so you can go and watch all of those, or if you hit the little hamburger at the top, you click that, and there are all of the previous videos from all of the previous months. Tons of information to go through. And people say, you know, I hit the archive button. I haven't slept in 2 days. Oh my God, you've ruined my life. My family thinks I'm crazy. And I'm like, welcome to Flat Earth. You know, breathe, eat, relax. And there you go. So the app does a whole bunch of other stuff. But one other thing I want to show you is how seasons work. Right now, we're in December or January, and the sun is out here near this outer yellow line. Do you guys know what the name of this outer yellow line is?
No.
Tropic of Capricorn.
Wow, Deborah, good one.
Okay. And the inner one, the yellow line, is the Tropic of Cancer. Those are where the solstices are. So on December 21st, the sun was all the way out here, but all the way now, you can see that it's migrating back in. It takes 6 months to go between the two tropics. So if I jump forward 6 months with a little jumping guy button, now we're in June. Am I in June? Oh, I went past June. I'm in July, June or July. There's July. And it's the inner northern summer, because the sun is closer to us. Imagine an airplane going over your head. It's straight over your head. Now at the same altitude, imagine that the airplane was 5 miles to your left. It's no longer over your head. It's lower in the sky. That's why right now, while the sun is out here, if we're in the inner northern lands, the sun is always low on our horizon because it's farther off to the side, just like an airplane. Okay. If that airplane turned and went over your head, it would be high in the sky. Just like when the sun comes closer to us, it's higher in the sky for the day, right? This is why in December we have short days, because the sun is never that close to us. And that's also why it's colder, because the sun is farther away. Right now, it's the heat of the summer in Central South America and Australia, because the sun is near them. It's over them. They're having the heat of their summer right now. So I'll jump out of the app and let's go. Let's just look at some. You tell me where you want to go. Any questions? Quickly, let me show you what the heliocentric model is. Okay. So this is the heliocentric model. We're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour on Earth. The Earth is rotating at 1,000 miles an hour. That's what they tell us. So when you watch the sunset on a heliocentric Earth, you believe that you're falling over backwards faster than the speed of sound. Does that seem like what's happening when you're watching the sunset, Deborah?
No, I'm perfectly still. And
the sun is just going away. And I'm going to show you how it goes away. While we're spinning, we're orbiting at 66,600 miles an hour. Interesting number, but that's a ridiculous speed. And we're chasing the sun at 500,000 miles an hour. And the entire solar system is going sideways at 1 or 2 million miles per hour. But somehow, if you go out tonight and mark where some of the prominent stars in the skies are, and then next year on the same night at the same time and go out, those stars will be in the exact same place, even though we're billions of miles from where we were in the previous years. But the stars always reset to exactly where they were the previous year and the previous decade and the previous century. You know, the pyramids are still pointing to the same three stars that they were pointing to when they were built. Crazy, right?
Yeah.
The helio nonsensical model. So I said I would say some crazy things. Those are all about the heliocentric model.
Yeah.
And here's a balloon that we sent up to 120,000 feet. Okay. The Earth should be spinning at 1,000 miles an hour under this balloon, but it was up there for 3 or 4 hours and it came down, you know, within miles of where it took off from.
Yeah. Does that get into, I don't know if you want to talk about it now. Can you talk about the Red Bull jump?
Yeah. So the Red Bull jump was another mind programming piece. Now the question is, was Felix Baumgarten?
Well, let's see. Deborah, do you remember the Red Bull jump?
No.
Okay.
So the Red Bull jump was Red Bull sent a balloon up to 127,000 feet where a guy jumped out of his capsule and parachuted to Earth. And this is what they showed on television, okay? So the question is, was Felix Baumgarten told to say he saw the curve of the Earth, or did he believe that he was going to see the curve of the Earth? And looking through his curved goggles, his curved lens, he saw the curve of the Earth. When you look through curved glass at a straight line, you see a curve. He was expecting to see a curve. He had a curved mask on, and he was told that he's going to be high enough to see the curve of the Earth. He's a great witness to say he saw the curve of the Earth. We could argue that all day, but it doesn't matter, because here's the problem. This is a good portion of the Earth, but if you look at all of these rivers and landmarks, that's New Mexico. All of this is New Mexico. Does New Mexico cover that much of the globe?
No.
No. This is a fisheye lens. They have a video. It's on the app he did a test jump before this and they didn't use the fisheye lens and everything is flat as can be, you know, flat like that. This is how it was looked. And what they showed on TV, of course, was this mind programming curvature nonsense. And because we've held their feet to the fire, us flat earthers, Neil deGrasse Tyson has since gone on shows recently and said, no, that was a fisheye lens, because we proved it was a fisheye lens. He goes, you can't see the curvature of the Earth from 127,000 feet. Meanwhile, a few years ago, he said you could see it at 40,000 feet. Then he said you could see it at 60,000 feet. Then he said you could see it at 80,000 feet. Now you can't see it at 127,000 feet. They keep moving the globe post every time we show that they're nonsensical. And
hey, so- I want to get to the why would they want to do that? But I think I need a lot more background.
Let's go. Let's hold the why, because the why is the best part. The why is the cream of the icing. But let's prove that, you know, that first, the only thing we know about the globe is what NASA and Disney tell us. And I put them together because literally they're the sister companies. Okay. So we're shown these two photos of Earth. Do you see a problem with these photos? This is the United States. This one was on everyone's iPhone. It's called the Blue Marble. It's in every textbook. This is their most famous picture. For one, they have an artist, a visual artist at NASA, who created this in Photoshop and admitted in an interview that he created it from data and information, and he did it in Photoshop. The other problem is, look at the United States. These balls are the same size, and look at the United States here. Besides just being different, this mm-hmm. one's twice the size. But if you look at this one, if I put my hand in front of it, the other one's tilted back a little bit. If I tilt this one back, it gets smaller. It doesn't get bigger. Okay. Right. That's bigger. That's smaller. Right. So this one should be smaller, but it's still twice the size. The other problem with this shot is, if you look if we just take all the maps and we take the 2012 shot, here it is, here's the United States. And I took this map of the areas of the Earth as they tell us. And I said, all right, this is what we're seeing on this ball approximately. Maybe I'm a tiny bit off, it doesn't matter. You have to believe that all of this land, all of this, all of this, all of this, all of this land is on the other side of that ball. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense, Deborah?
Doesn't fit.
It doesn't make any, right. It doesn't fit. Most people's brains short circuit at this point, but thank you for saying that out loud. Here's a picture of Jupiter. Okay. Jupiter, they tell us this is the storm that never ends. It's bigger than the Earth. It's so big, right? This is a hurricane that's going on for decades and decades and decades. And these are all the wind currents. And this storm band is going this way. And this storm band is going this way. And this is a gaseous, stormy, crazy planet. That's what we're told, the official story. Well, in 2016, NASA took a picture and said, hey, we got a new picture of Jupiter. and we see these auroral storm, these the aurora lights, the light like our northern lights. We see their northern lights. Okay, one, does that look fake to you? Yes, it looks Photoshopped, but let's assume it's real. If you overlap these two planets and put the transparency up and down, every single little cloud is exactly the same. See this little dot right here? This little cloud? Look, there it is right there. Same thing. Every little thing is exactly the same. They use the same picture. They made this one a little bit lighter. That's it. Same exact picture. And they just added this onto it. What does that tell you? It tells you NASA is faking images of planets. They're faking their images of planets. If you catch NASA lying about one thing, everything they've done unwinds. Everything. Do you know that they do all of the training for the space station in the National Buoyancy Lab? Okay. They have a replica of the space station in a pool where they go in with scuba divers. They have green screens in this pool and they can make it look like this. Why do you think they would need that for training?
They wouldn't.
Thank you. There's so much to unwind with NASA. For example, the space station, they always show us, the guys are always standing close together. They're holding their arms like this when they're doing interviews on the space station and they're bobbing up and down. You know, I could make myself be on the space station. Look, I'm floating on the space station. This is what you see. Okay? Wow. Right? This is it. My budget's $24. They get $60+ million every single day. But we catch them with all sorts of green screen glitches. This was at the end of an interview and they're saying goodbye. And look, they glitched out, but everything in the background and only the things that were floating glitched out to show that they're on a different layer. Okay. This is undeniable, undeniable fakery. And then other times we catch them hanging on wires. The green screen screwed up and it didn't layer out his harness. Look, he's supposed to be floating by in the background.
Oh, he's got his harness on.
I mean, that couldn't be any clearer than that. But the green screen screwed up. It was supposed to get rid of that harness and his knee straps.
He's like Peter Pan or like Tommy Lee playing the drums when he spun upside down.
And then they're also playing with virtual reality objects. Objects aren't really there. They're manipulating them in space. They have either contacts on or they're looking at a screen and they screw up. This hat that he's flipping around right here, it doesn't show it in this video, but he meant to hand it to this guy and he missed it. And he thought he had it and he put it away when he never grabbed it because he missed it. He put his hand in the wrong place. So that just shows how they're faking everything. I mean, they're faking everything. So, I could go on and on and on. What other questions do you have that I, because there's a lot I could hit.
I mean, this is all just so new that I can't even come up with questions.
All right, let me keep going. So remember, the helio nonsensical model says that we're spinning, orbiting, twirling, whirling, but we don't feel any of it, right? With all of those motions that I described before, we can build rocks, structures like this that don't fall over, right? We have lakes that are perfect glass, right? Imagine holding a big bowl, a shallow bowl of water in a car, and you're going 100 miles an hour down a perfectly straight road. Okay, you're good. If that car starts taking a turn, that water is going to slosh right off the side of that bowl. Well, how come this water isn't sloshing? We're turning, we're dropping at like 5 miles a minute if we're on a spinning ball. We're orbiting at a speed that can't even be fathomed. Then we're chasing the sun in another curve and we're speeding up and slowing down every year. Like, if we go around the sun, we go faster and slower and faster and slower. Do you feel any of that? No. If there's a tiny earthquake, your whole vestibular system freaks out. You're like, whoa, the earth is moving, right? Just a little vibration will send that. And we're supposedly moving in all of these directions. None of that is true. None of it.
What about where does gravity come into this?
Good question, Deborah.
Yeah, great question. And there's still debates on exactly what causes that. But one thing, Bill Lye, the lying guy with the bow tie, and Neil deGrasse Tyson, the high priest of Scientism, say is they have no idea what gravity is. They have no idea. Every test that scientists have done to prove that mass attracts mass has failed. Okay? They don't teach you that in school. They all fail. Neil says, we don't know what gravity is. We have equations for it, right? I could do math equations that show that you have $30 million in the bank. Okay? It's just an equation, though. So they had to introduce dark matter or dark energy, right? They're like, well, if gravity, there has to be this matter there because our equations don't even work. So it's like 96% of gravity is dark energy, dark gravity. No one's ever seen it. It's just a theory. So if I owed you $100, I said, here's $4. I'll Venmo you $4. And then the other 96, I'm going to give it to you. They're dark dollars. You'll never see them, but they're there. Trust me. Would you feel satisfied that I paid you the $100?
Of course not.
So what is gravity? Why do things go down? Well, the simplest answer is buoyancy and density. If this is heavier than the air, and if I let it go, it falls through the air all the way to the floor. Okay. So it's heavier than the air. It goes down, right? So and a helium balloon is lighter than the air. So it goes up because the air displaces it and it just goes up, right? That's buoyancy and density sort things out. But I believe, and many others do, that, well, how does it know to go down? What makes it go down? There has to be something that says, hey, this way is down. That's up, that's down. Forward and backwards are relative because my forward's that way. But if I was standing this way, my forward's that way, okay? Left and right are variable. The only thing that's true is up and down. Up is up, down is down, period. Earth is flat. So the Earth is a dielectric plane. Everything. The only forces in this Earth are electricity and magnetism, okay? Excuse me. So the Earth has a measurable negative charge to it. And every meter you go off the ground, the voltage goes up by 100%. This is all measurable science, okay? So that negative charge attracts things. You ever see one of those, I forget what it's called, where it's an ionizer, where you turn it on in your room and it charges the room with a positive charge and all the dust falls to the floor so you can vacuum it up? Yeah. Because you're making it more attracted to the floor because it's floating because it's as light as the air. It's got a negative charge, so it's not being pulled down. But the negative charge of the Earth establishes a downward direction, and then just buoyancy and density sort everything else out. An anvil falls faster than a feather because it's more dense and it goes down. That's it. I mean, that's up and down. And then we can prove a couple things. We can, you ever see one of those guys build these like little triangle tinfoil things and they put electrodes on them and they give it a negative charge, an electric charge, and it floats up in the air. Yeah. All right. So that's defying gravity or some electrical force. It's defying an electrical force. Magnets defy magnetism. If a magnet's pulling down, you could have another one that's pushing up. That has nothing to do with gravity. One of the experiments that one of the flat earthers did, it was very cool. He had the Mylar balloons and they were tied to something that was just floating above the floor. And he had some wires hooked up to it, but it was floating just like a couple inches above the floor, kind of neutral. And with a Van de Graaff generator, he put a negative charge on it or a positive charge. And as he cranked up the generator and gave it that charge, it got heavier and went down. Okay. That's kind of evidence in my mind that that's what pulls it down. So some people say, well, why does the helium balloon go up? It's got mass and everything. And that's because the helium balloon has less mass than the air around it. So the air is trying to get underneath it and it's pushing it up. So imagine, when you have styrofoam, if you break off the little beads of styrofoam, they're super fluffy and light. Imagine you have a full bucket of styrofoam beads, loose styrofoam beads, okay? They're very light, but they're still sitting in the bucket. They're going down because they have that weak downward forces pulling on it. If I poured a bucket of marbles into that bucket, all of those beads would get pushed up and out of the out of the bucket because the heavier stuff would go underneath and they would literally push it up. That's exactly what's happening with a helium balloon.
So the marbles would be like the air.
And the marbles would be like the air, and the beads would be like the helium. So if there was no air, and again, we can't prove this because there's no vacuums anywhere, but if you had a helium balloon in a vacuum and you could make it not explode, it would fall down.
Yeah.
Right.
I got an easy question for you to tackle. So it's what Brian Callen brought it up also is that NASA or whoever has an anti-gravity room or machine or something like that. There's video of it.
I don't, you know what? I think I know that they've with sound waves have levitated frogs.
Okay.
We've always speculated that maybe they have a machine, you know, maybe they could do that on a bigger scale with a human, but we
I
haven't
think
really.
It's just, don't they have just like an air, something falling at like free fall speed that makes people
float? Yeah, you're talking about the zero G plane.
Yeah. And then people are saying that that's an anti-gravity simulator.
No, it's not an anti-gravity machine. What it does is it does a parabolic arc as it accelerates up and dives down at the same time. You become weightless because the airplane's falling at the same rate that you're falling, and they could do it for like almost up to a minute now. So sometimes when they're showing us astronauts flipping around and doing crazy stuff where they're not getting tangled in their wires and they're not having green screens, they're on a parabolic plane, and they never show us longer clips than 45 minutes other than highly edited stuff. Okay. There was a scene on the morning news. This was like in when I think it was Skylab, when they were in Skylab, or maybe it was the shuttle program, I forget. But the morning news was like, we're waiting for the astronauts on the space station to get, you know, we're going to have a short window with them, but they only have like a minute to talk to them because then we lose communications. No, they have a minute to talk with them because that's all they can fake it. So the astronauts were talking to them, and in the middle of the interview, all of the astronauts crashed into the wall sideways. They all went bam sideways into the wall, and they cut away. And they're like, oh, well, there was a shift, the space station shift. They came up with this nonsense. But what it was I turned the video sideways. The video was sideways, and they all hit the ground just like when you're in a zero G plane and they're like at the end of the parabolic arc. Everyone just hits the ground, and they hit it the exact same way. And one of the astronauts that was floating, and he had his roll of duct tape and something else floating in the air, you know, to mesmerize everyone on the news. When he hit that wall with this surprise shift that should have shocked all of them, he caught both items with one hand like he's done it a million times before. He just hit the ground, and he caught both of them as they fell out of the air. Okay?
So it's like when you jump at the bottom of the elevator travel.
Yeah, it's very, very similar to that. You know, when when the parabolic arc stops, everyone, boom, catches up to the plane and they fall down. And that's exactly what they showed us there. So they rarely ever, I don't think they ever do live video anymore from the zero G plane because we've caught them too many times. We've caught them in everything. Satellites, we'll touch satellites real quick.
Sure.
So NASA is the largest consumer and owner of helium and helium companies in the world. Helium.
What do they use helium for, Deborah?
So one thing they use it for is tens of thousands of satelloons, we call them. These things weigh up to 8,000 pounds. They put them up into space and into high orbit for over a year. They go up. These things. So there's tens of thousands of these things. They launch most of them from Antarctica, and they're up there all around the Earth, right? Why don't they tell us about these satellite balloons? These things are also crashing all over the Earth, and they quickly get retrieved, but too many people with cell phones and they're catching them and uploading the videos. They're all over the place. And on the app, if you click, what about satellites? You'll see all of the videos about these balloon programs that they have. So are, you know, the satellites that, you know, I don't know what this is doing. Is that taking pictures of Earth? Is it transmitting signals? I don't know. but the thing is, you know, people say, what about GPS? And I say GPS is the ground positioning system, because if you are 100 to 200 miles offshore and there's no other land out there, you know, between California and Hawaii, when you're on an airplane, 100 to 200 miles offshore, you're off radar. You go into approximated mode and they just calculate where you are until you're 100 or 200 miles off of Hawaii. And then, oh, we got them on radar again. And that's because it's not done by satellites. It's all done by ground-based towers. And it's just with a graphic overlay of from high altitude balloons or airplanes or possibly balloons. They just map out the whole world and they wrap it around a ball in Photoshop.
Got
crazy,
it.
Right?
So what you're saying is they have all these satellites, but are there actual satellites in orbit?
So you have to think, they want us to believe, right, that there are so many satellites in space. You know, we have to believe that this is going on, right? These satellites aren't floating in space. They're falling around the Earth, but they happen to fall at the same rate as they're moving forward. So if it drops a mile, it's moved where the curvature drops a mile. So in theory, it never hits the Earth. That's what an orbit is. It's still in gravity, but it's going so fast that its drop matches the drop of the Earth. First, that's crazy, okay? That's just not gonna happen. Imagine if the Earth was stationary in space, not moving at all, not spinning, not doing anything. Then you could almost imagine that working. But the Earth is spinning, it's traveling in three different directions at once, and these things are able to keep up with it on all of its curved trajectories in all these different directions. Some of them, if the Earth is turning, some of them turn with the Earth, so they're over the same part of the Earth the entire time, okay? That's insanity. They call it a Lagrange point, you know, in between the sun's gravity and the Earth's gravity, so it could stay stationary. Nonsense. It's all nonsense, because the Earth is moving in all these directions at once. None of that is happening, because it would have to be able to keep up with the Earth doing all of these motions, right? Why are all of the other planets keeping up on the same plane as the Earth? So here's the sun, and all of the other planets are on this same plane, okay? They'd be going like this in every different direction, you know, like they show us what an atom does, all right? Which again is another mind construct. Why are all of the planets on the same plane? And that's because the things that we call planets are within the Earth system. They are all just above us within the Earth system. Here's the moon. And there's the sun, and it travels over the flat Earth in a circle, like a clock, perfectly.
So if we have like a high-powered telescope and we're looking at the different planets through it, are we seeing different sides of the planets or the same thing every time that you look at the
planet? So when you look at a planet or a star, you're not seeing what NASA and Disney show you. You're seeing something different. This is the star Arcturus, okay? Now, some people say, you know, this is out of focus. This one doesn't look out of focus to me. This is the star Arcturus. Does that look like a burning ball of hydrogen trillions of miles away? Or does that look like something that you can't even explain that's right here within the Earth system? We're able to zoom in and see the details on this. So what's funny is you zoom in on this star, this is what this star looks like. You know, and if you zoom in on Capella, this is what Capella looks like. Okay. I believe that stars, this is me, David Weiss, that stars are energetic, sentient bodies within our solar system. I don't have the words for it. Within our Earth system, not solar system, okay? And we'll talk about the solar system. So these things, I don't know if either of you are into astrology, but astrology makes zero sense in the helio-nonsensical model. But in the Earth system, where all of these things are within the Earth's atmosphere, right? This is Sirius. This is the star Sirius. Slow down a little bit. These things have cymatic, you know, sacred geometry patterns in them. These things are within our system. These are, you know, the projectors of our life. That's the way I see it. So when we look at Saturn, to me, it looks spherical, right? But if you look at it, it looks like a friggin' light bulb. It's lit evenly, and the rings are lit also as bright as the star. Those rings are dust and ice and rocks, but how are they reflecting such a perfect light back to us? I mean, if you looked at Saturn through a good telescope.
I never have, no. I've just seen them.
But if you do, it literally looks like a perfect round light ball, you know, evenly lit, and the rings are equally as bright. They're shining light. Saturn is its own light. The moon is its own light. All of the stars, we're told, are their own lights. But if you look at Mars or any, you know, all the planets are in the sky right now, if you look at them, they're brighter than any stars out there. And you have to believe, you know, if you look at the moon, so on a full new moon night, this is what the moon looks like. If you're away from the city and the moon is full, you can navigate by it. It's casting shadows on the ground. You can read by it, right? It's mm-hmm. this bright. But if you light a single source light, a sphere with a single source light, you should have a hot spot in the middle and it should fade out to the edge, right? When you light a ball, it gets, but this is not. This is its own light. This is sending its own light to Earth. We're supposed to believe this dusty, dirty ball looks this bright from 238,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Does that look like that? Absolutely not. The moon is the biggest mystery on flat Earth and on the ball Earth. But if you also look, these clouds, this is not showing you the whole picture, but these clouds are lit, but all the clouds over there and around are not lit. They're in the pitch black. How could something that far away just light up those clouds unless it was right next to those clouds? I don't believe that the moon and the sun that we see in the sky are physical. And I think we see them as like a reflection, and we see them relative to our own position. And there's lots of videos in the app that we can really visualize and show you what that looks like. But the moon looks spherical, right? So the first thing I say to that is look at the lights in your ceiling and tell me what shape the floor is. Makes no sense. The lights could be any shape they want. They have nothing to do with the floor. But watch this video. Watch this right here. Here's four moons. Is that moon a ball? Is that a sphere? Well, it's a half a sphere, so that's kind of tricky. Is this next one a sphere right here? Is that a sphere? Looks spherical, right?
Yeah.
It's a sphere?
Yeah, well, it looks like it.
It's flat. Okay. All right. Is this a sphere?
No.
It's not? You're just saying that because, you know, because you've been wrong all along.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
All right. So that's a cup. Is this one a sphere?
Yeah.
All right. Because you thought I have to have one sphere in there. Right. But again, if I mix those up and you didn't see them, you'd have no idea.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is the moon could be spherical. I don't even think the moon's physical, because one of the weird things is when the moon goes into a new moon. So think about this. The moon goes to a new moon, and that's when the sun is directly behind the moon, and the moon becomes what we call a new moon. There's no light, right? So this is a new moon. We're on Earth. This side of the moon is dark because the sun is on this side of the moon in the heliocentric model. So when the moon goes new, nobody has ever seen the moon in less than 40 some odd hours, almost two full days. No high flying aircraft has been able to photograph it. Nobody with infrared super zoom telescopes. No one has been able to find the moon in the sky under any conditions with any technology. It's just not there. That's bizarre. Now think about this. We were just talking about the full moon. You're out in the middle of nowhere. The moon, like the full moon, gives you plenty of light. In the heliocentric model, that's because the sun is on the other side of the Earth. It's lighting up the full moon, and that moon is lighting up the Earth. Well, the moon is a dusty, dirty ball. The Earth is six times bigger and pretty shiny compared to the moon. So the Earth shine from, if you're on the moon, you're looking at a full Earth, like a full moon. The Earth shine should light up the moon at least six times as much as the moon lights up the Earth. Follow me?
Because it's six times bigger.
It's six times bigger, and it's also shinier, but it should give at least six times the amount of light, and somebody should be able to see it. No one's ever been able to see it. I believe when the moon goes into the new phase, there's a new moon. There's no moon there. No moon that we see, because the real source of the moon and the sun, I believe, are within or above the dome, above the firmament. So again, anything above our heads or beyond the shoreline of Antarctica is speculation. I'm happy to speculate, but there's plenty here underneath our feet that we can prove we don't live on a ball. There, everything proves the Earth is flat and stationary. Nothing falls into the Earth as a globe.
Okay, so you bring up Antarctica. So I wanted to go back to that. Antarctica is much higher land, so it contains, it's the edge of the bowl that contains. Yep. What's outside of Antarctica?
So you see this pink line right here?
Mm-hmm.
This is 60 degrees south latitude on the Earth. The Antarctic Treaty in 1957 was formulated, you know, when all those troubles in the world, environmentalism wasn't even a thing, but they discovered we need to protect the penguins and the ice. We have to protect them. Nobody can drop a cigarette butt on the ice. So we're going to have the Antarctic Treaty. And in the Antarctic Treaty, it says no person, no corporation, nobody for any reason whatsoever can explore Antarctica until the year 2041. It says in the treaty that the treaty can't even be questioned until the year 2041.
Who was the treaty between?
All of the United Nations in the world signed it. Everyone signed it. Meanwhile, we're having wars for resources and stuff.
What year was this in?
1957.
Okay. So it's after Project High Jump.
It's right around that time. I don't know the exact dates, to be honest. But 1957 is right around the time when NASA was formed. And NASA put we have the Van Allen radiation belts above us. We're militarizing space. And they also put a fence around us. It's Antarctica. You're not allowed to bring any fuel beyond this pink line. So you're hundreds of miles from Antarctica, and you're not allowed to bring any fuel, let alone go explore these outer areas. Admiral Byrd said he discovered land bigger than the United States that no human has ever stepped foot on. But that's the last we heard about that. So what's out there? There could be anything. Some people think that there's another ring of other oceans and other continents with another sun out here. Okay. That's a possibility. I don't know. As I said earlier, anything beyond the shoreline of Antarctica is speculation.
How far? Because I think, you know, people will be like, well, there's research facilities on Antarctica. They're all pretty close to the shoreline, correct?
They're all right at the shoreline. And there's 15 different companies that you can go vacation in Antarctica for three days or 4 days. It'll cost you, $10,000 to $30,000 or $40,000. And you can go, they'll show you the penguins at the shoreline, right? So they'll take you, they'll take you right here. Well, where's South America? So they'll take you right to the shoreline down here.
Right below.
And they'll bring you out a little ways, out south a little ways. And they'll say, oh, here's a pole. That's the ceremonial north south pole, but it's just a pole. No compasses work down there, out there. And GPS doesn't work out there, so you can't verify it. So,
they'll bring you there? Right here.
Do you
fly or do you go on a boat from Argentina?
You have to fly to San. I don't think they fly you in. I think you have to go on a boat, but there might be flights there. Not sure.
Epstein's plane flew there.
Yeah, please. And who knows what's going on down there? And the rulers of this world, they might be living out there. Who knows? I don't know. Again, it's speculation, but it's off limits. Meanwhile, we can deforest the Amazon. We could do whatever we want environmentally, but we can't go explore Antarctica. So people say, well, what about circumnavigation? People circumnavigated the world, right? But if the North Pole is in the center, the North Pole is right here in the center, you can go east or west and circle around the Earth because east and west are circles around the North. If you follow your compass dead east, it will take you equidistant from the North Pole all the way back around to right where you started from. Just like the sun is traveling to the west, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is the sun going backwards in this image? I think the sun's going backwards in my animation. I think I have it backwards. Doesn't matter. It's doing the same thing, but it's going east or west, it doesn't matter. So when you circumnavigate, you can circumnavigate dead east or dead west and end up where you started from. You can even go over the north and continue, and now you're heading to the far east. And that's a straight line. But you can do that on a flat earth. One thing you can't do on a ball earth is you can't go from like Santiago, Chile to Australia. You can't just take this little short flight across the bottom of the ball and go here. You can't do that on a flat earth, right? And please, well, you're not allowed to fly over Antarctica. Okay, so you can't stay at this lower southern latitude and go around and end up in Australia, because that's a short flight. And you know what they do is they make you go all the way up to the north, all the way across. Sometimes they make you go all the way over to like Dubai and then back down. Okay, that's a crazy path. But if you look at that same path on a flat earth, it's a straight line. Bam.
Wow.
Right? Nobody has ever done this route. Nobody's ever done it. Now, there was a world record. The ZQ pilot or something got the world record for circumnavigating the earth. And if I could find the image of his path, because we could track him. And this is what they got the world record for circumnavigating the earth. And then we're going to get into the why the lie, because I think we're reaching that point. But why can't I find that image? The circumnavigating.
How are you feeling so far, Deborah?
It's a lot of information, Deborah, right? Here we go. All right, so here's the North Pole right up here. And he went, you know, he went down here to the East Coast, went over to these islands, went over to these islands, went over to Santiago. Then he went into South America, to Antarctica. And then he turned around and came back. And he went up this way, and he went all the way back around the North and back to where he started from.
So he's just saying he went half.
They're saying he went around the globe. They gave him the world record for this. This is what it looks like on a flat earth map.
But he just went half and doubled back pretty much.
He went here, then he went to here, then he went to here, and then he turned around and came back, and then he went up to here. He went around the North Pole, and they said he circumnavigated the Earth.
So, yeah, he didn't go all the way around.
He didn't go anywhere.
Because you
this
can't.
Is what you need to believe in the ball. You need media programming, schooling, books. You need everything that goes against every sense you have. And this is all you need to show that the Earth is flat and stationary, because get a light, get a shiny piece of plastic or glass or whatever, and hold the light on it so it makes a line on it, and then bend it just a tiny little bit, and that light will stop right immediately. It'll just come to a point. It will not do this. This is all because it's flat. The slightest convexity, and that line is gone.
Deborah, say that again. What do you mean?
So see that the sun reflection across the water?
Yeah.
If you got if you had a shiny piece of plastic and put it on mm-hmm. a table mm-hmm. and then put a light, you know, on down close to it and get to the other end so you can see that same reflection across it, right?
Yeah.
So then just arc the plastic just a little bit, make it convex like uh-huh. the earth, and immediately that line will disappear. It'll just stop at a point.
Uh-huh.
It will not wrap, the light doesn't wrap around. If the world was curved, this light would just be a point on the water right where my finger is. But instead it comes all the way to you.
Okay.
That can only work on a flat, stationary earth. And the other thing is, we were talking about satellites. These are underwater cables. These are fiber optic underwater cables that carry like 99% of all of the communications around the world. And what's interesting is, look, how come there's not how come there's not a line from here to Australia? Because on the globe, they're really close to each other. Okay. They're uh-huh. not. You got to go all the way up here to get over to Australia. That's crazy. It's crazy. It none of it makes any sense whatsoever.
All right.
You with why? Me? So why the lie? Why would they lie?
Why, are they doing this?
Deborah, you want to take a guess?
No, I don't want to take a guess. I can't.
So, okay. So here's why the lie. It's everything that's happening in this world right now is about control. It's not about your health. It's not about your freedom. It's about controlling you because they literally, who they are, we'll call them, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, we'll call them Mr. Global, Mr. Global Group. Okay. The Mr. Global Group or something like that, that they don't care about us. They are literally consider themselves a different species at this point. And they want to control us. And what they realize is they know the rules of this land and they don't want us to know it, that we have God-given free will, that they can't break our free will. They can't take away our God-given rights. So if they can convince us that we live on an infinite, on a speck, lost in space, spinning out of control in a godless or at best distant God universe, where an asteroid could wipe us out at any moment, that we have no significance, that we are just random accidents, you know, lightning struck, created a fish that turned into a monkey, that turned into a human, okay? That we have no value, that we have no power. If they can convince us of that, then they can control us because we'll believe anything. We'll believe anything. But the truth is, we live at the center of creation. We live at the center of creation. This world was created for us. And before I discovered that the earth was flat, I would be listening to a podcast and taking great notes on whatever subject. And as soon as they would mention God, the Bible, the Quran, anything, I'd rip up the notes, unsubscribe, and I was out. I was like, these guys are religious fanatics. I'm not interested. Okay. I would discount everything they said. But then when I discovered that we're not a random accident, that the earth is flat. And when you understand the earth is flat, it's not just the shape, it's that it's created by intelligence. Okay, the world was created for us. Therefore, there's a creator, and that changes everything. So the PSYOP is not the flat earth. The PSYOP is that you have no power. The PSYOP is that you have to obey what they call authority. The PSYOP is that you are powerless and can't do anything about it. But the truth is, we're in a spiritual war that most people don't even realize what's going on. They want our energy. They want our consent. They can't do anything to us unless we agree. You know, we agree all the time by not saying no. They always tell us what they're doing. On the big event in New York and everything else, they told us what they were doing years in advance. They warned us that it was coming, and people just ignored it. They tell us in their convoluted ways. We don't say no. Then that means we're saying yes. You know, the spraying of our skies, they called us conspiracy theorists, but now they admit it and no one is objecting. They admit it. Harvard says we're spraying the skies to prevent global warming. Nobody cares.
Isn't there therefore, a video of John,
we're giving our consent. Go ahead. Sorry.
John Brennan talking about creating weather.
Yeah, so there's weather control, there's all sorts of stuff. I don't believe that the spraying of our skies is mostly for weather. I believe it's something completely different. As I was talking about before, you know, all of the lights that we see in the sky, these are sentient, these are spirits. You know, stars could be souls, could be our own soul. We're having this soul's journey here. Maybe they're trying to disconnect us from source. They're trying to short circuit our connection, our energetic connection with the stars. So there's so much to this that they don't want us to know, because this is their biggest secret of all. The globe lie is their biggest deception of all, because if you wake up to this, if you wake up to it, you take your power back. You start seeing through all of the other nonsense. You start wondering, how did I ever fall for any of this stuff? You know, we just had in October a conference. There was only about 400, 500 of us. Flat Earthers, everybody.
Was that a Flattober in Greenville?
Flattoberfest in South Carolina. Everybody was awake. Everyone could see. Everyone, the conversations were amazing. The people were amazing. And all of those people have taken their power back. And they can't have that. So NASA, JAXA, all the Russian Space Agency, the Chinese who just put their thing on the moon, Elon Musk, all of that stuff is pseudoscience nonsense. And that lie is so big that people can't see through it, because it's all done to make us think we live on a ball and that we have no significance. Now, there are people that have found God that think we live on a ball that are doing well. That's fine. That's fine. But a majority of the world, or a large percentage of the world, is lost. And what they don't want them knowing is that there's a creator. Because once they see that, they take their power back. They don't want us to know that, if I could sum it all up into one thing, that our thoughts create our reality. So that's why they're controlling our thoughts, keeping us in fear, and leading us into creating this dystopian future that they want with our thoughts. Our thoughts create our reality. And once you get a hold of your thoughts, because most people have no idea that their thoughts are controlled by the television, right? The tell lie vision. And, you know, so get a hold of your thoughts, control your own thoughts, and maintain control of your soul. That's our only thing to do here on earth, is not to sell our soul, not to lose control of our soul. Our soul is here with a journey and a purpose. And the more we align with that, the better off we are. And once you see the creation, that where we are, what we are, you could align with your soul a lot better, because your soul knows deep down inside, your soul is going, listen to this guy, he's right. I know you think he's crazy, but he's right. Okay. And when you align with your soul talking to you, if you quiet all the clatter down in your head and listen to your soul speak, you will have an amazing life.
So you mentioned briefly that they, whoever the hell, do you have any theory about who the they are?
Well, we know the royal families and the, you know, the people in the CFR and all of these bloodlines that have been ruling the world. You know, presidents are all, they're all related. And the amount of blue-eyed presidents and world leaders is like 90 some odd, high 90 percentage, where blue eyes are a recessive gene that both parents have to have, and only 17% of the world has blue eyes. So how are 98% of world leaders have blue eyes? Okay. So these are bloodlines that are ruling this world, but the ones that we see, they're the puppets of the real leaders. We don't know the real rulers of this world. I don't even know if they live within this realm. They might be walking through town as a normal guy. You have no idea who they are, or they might be living in the outer lands in another beautiful world, or even in the center. No one's allowed to go to the North Pole. The center, no planes are allowed to fly over the North Pole. There's lots of stories that the North Pole is another paradise, an Eden. Okay. Maybe that's where they're all from. The center, you know, maybe. I don't know, because these things are off limits. So again, proving that we're being deceived is easy. Large bodies of water at rest lay flat. If we're on a ball 24,901 miles around, there's a curvature formula, which is very easy. It's simple math. 8 inches per mile squared, because if it was the same drop every mile, it would be a ramp, but that drops off faster and faster because the earth is curving down. So the first mile is 8 inches, second mile, 2 times 2 is 4, times 8 inches is 32 inches. 3 miles is 3 times 3 times 8, it's 6 feet. Okay. So a 6 foot tall person standing at the edge of a calm ocean should be able to see the water up to 3 miles, and then it should drop below his vision. Right? If you got up a little bit higher, you'd be able to see a little bit farther. But 6 foot tall, you shouldn't be able to see the surface of the water past 3 miles, because it's dropping behind the curve. But, you know, this is a shot from like a foot off the water. The horizon should be like 1.2 miles away, I think. But this oil rig should have like 59 feet of curvature. But if you look, we can see the water for miles beyond it, right? We should not be able to see the surface of the water at this oil rig, but we can see water for miles beyond it. That's because large bodies of water at rest lay flat. Everything gets smushed into the convergence point by the way we see. You know, the clouds that are high above your head, 30 miles away, look like they're touching the water. Uh-huh. Okay. And that's just convergence. And then you just can't see any farther because it's beyond your eyes' ability to see.
And then if a ship seems like it's going over the curve, you could actually take a high-powered telescope or something to magnify your sight and zoom it back in.
I'm zooming out, and these ships are still on the horizon, but you can't see them anymore. They disappear. They disappear over the curve. It's not over the curve. They just disappear because of convergence. So watch this ship. See this ship? This boat here? See this mountain? This mountain's bigger than the boat. When we zoom out, watch what happens. You can't see the boat anymore, and you can't see the mountain anymore. It's just because of convergence. It's not going over the over the hill because we can zoom in and see it again. So, you know, here is a city skyline. This thing is way up there. But when we zoom out, watch what happens. This entire city looks like it goes over the curve, but it's not. It's still there. I'm just zooming out. It's not going away. It's just getting too small and too light to see. It's gone. It's not going over the curve. People will say, people at the beach will look out there and go, yeah, I can't see it because it's over the curve. No, that's like saying, can you guys see my house right now? If you can't, that must be because of curvature. There's no other explanation. So,
yeah.
There's a lot to it.
I think what I'd like to say is, you know, just because it's a point that one of my heroes, Eddie Bravo, made a while back. It's like for everybody to feel like something's true or that they believe it, they need some guy in a white coat to come out and explain something that doesn't make sense to them. And then that becomes fact to them. And then when someone comes out and speaks just plain in simple terms that our own brains can comprehend, because maybe it's the truth and it's not all these complicated formulas and stuff, people just write it off because they don't believe that they're special enough to know how things work.
Right. And people give up their own common sense to authority. Hey, this guy who can memorize and regurgitate and spew nonsense that I don't understand has a degree. Therefore, I have to trust him because he's wearing a lab coat and he's on the TV. So he's, you know, he's got the truth. None of that's true. People say, oh, well, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not, you know, no, that's not true. You have common sense. Go outside and ask yourself, are you spinning, twirling, whirling, and rocketing through space, or are you flat and stationary? And if you can get rid of your programming, you'll be like, we're not moving at all whatsoever. You know, people on an airplane, when you're flying on an airplane, you know, going 550 miles an hour, the earth is dropping below you, where the plane would have to nose down a mile every 2 minutes. Every 2 minutes, the plane would have to nose down. Otherwise, it's going to fly off into space. It'll be like 80,000 feet in an hour. Okay. Right. But people say, well, gravity. No, it's not gravity. Think about this. You're on a long flight. Flights are really comfortable, smooth. You're watching a movie. You're taking a nap. Right. And then when they start getting near the airport, the pilot just starts nosing down. He's like, hey, hello, everybody, we're going to be landing in 35 minutes. And he's going down super slow, but it wakes you up. As soon as that plane starts descending, you're like, oh, we're descending. Right. Your body knows. He's not dropping at a mile a minute. He's dropping at like 1,000 feet a minute, maybe, you know, 500 feet a minute.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy at what people have been brainwashed to believe by these liars. Okay. These liars.
NASA. Never a straight answer.
Yeah. Not a space agency.
Yeah. So
Deborah, this is what I want you to do. Deborah, do you have an iPhone or an Android phone?
I have an iPhone.
All right. So you're gonna shoot me your email address. I'm gonna gift the app to you. I want to gift it to you. And awesome. Every day, make sure when you have this on your phone, go into the phone settings and the notifications, go down to FE clock and make sure you turn on all of the notifications. That's why you'll get just one notification a day that tells you what the daily video is about. I do short ones during the week, longer ones on the weekend. And just watch one video a day. Okay.
Okay. If you click
the archive button or the mud floods button, bring food and water.
That's what I want to get into so much is the Tartaria mud flood stuff. I think I'm going to get a guy to come on and talk about some.
Who are you getting? Martin?
Howdy Mikowski.
I don't know him, but he sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
The thing that I liked about him is I'm a construction worker and he explains it. He kind of gets at it through the World's Fair structures.
Oh my God, the World's Fairs are amazing.
And he was just on Freeman Fly. That's how I found him.
Nice, nice. I did Freeman Fly.
Yeah, right I listened to that one too.
Right after Plattoberfest. But Martin Leakey, which is Flat Earth British, he just put out just a video today. No words, just images. It brings tears to your eyes what this world was before now. I mean, there was an entire different civilization here, far more advanced than we are. And it's not even a question. Flat Earth British, check out his little 20-minute video. Martin's the man, and the other guy is John Levy, Jonlevi. He does 20-minute videos. Find his channel, subscribe to it, and watch every single video he's ever done. Right?
Okay.
And it'll blow you away. He speaks really slow, but it grows on you like a fungus.
Cool.
What was the John Levy and Martin
Leakey? And his channel is Flat Earth British. Flat Earth British.
Cool.
Okay.
And again, in the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, put your camera right here and you can get it, or just search Flat Earth Clock app. It's by Blue Water Bay, because there's a couple knockoffs out there that don't do anything like this. And just click the mud floods button. Tons of stuff in there.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'll get it just for that for all the other stuff too. Deborah, have you been converted? Convinced?
No, don't say you've been converted.
No.
Is there a little opening, a little sliver of mistrust in what you've been told now?
Well, there's these days the mistrust is like a snowball growing and growing. But yeah, there's these concepts are really, really beyond huge. I takes a long time for me to digest. So I have to go back and look through a lot of this stuff. But yes, it's definitely.
Let me show you one more thing. When you're looking into the distance, the atmosphere does very funny things, and it compresses things. The lower down they are, the more they get compressed. All of these balconies are the same height, but if you can see, they get compressed.
Oh.
And they get compressed to the point where you can't see them, and people say, oh, it's because it's behind the curvature. It's just atmospheric compression.
And what is atmospheric compression?
It's just because you're looking through the thickest part of the atmosphere is down low. When you look up, you're looking through a very short, thinning, clearing atmosphere. But when you look across, there's moisture and stuff. So it's magnifying things. It's distorting things. And so it literally, that along with perspective and your angular view, just compress. This is atmospheric compression. This balcony is the same thickness as this balcony. That's atmospheric compression.
Okay.
It's not a theory. Uh-huh. It's a fact. And the fact that you can't see down here is just because it's beyond the convergence point and beyond, you know, physical, the waves are blocking. So all sorts of stuff. It's not just one answer.
So what about tides and the moon, and how does that all fit in?
So the tides and the moon. The moon has nothing to do with the tides, or it does not the gravity of the moon, because we're supposed to have a large high tide when there's a full moon, and that happens a lot. Not always, but it happens a lot.
Uh-huh.
But when there's a new moon, why isn't there a high tide then? The moon's still there. It just doesn't have any light on it. It should be the same amount of gravity. So I think, and why do tides only affect saltwater and not freshwater? And it has to do with that the sun and the moon are the anode and cathode of the Earth battery system. The Earth is a big battery. The continents are what's known as the salt bridge, and the salt water carries the currents. And as the sun and the moon go around, they're sending energy, and that has to do, that I believe moves the tides. There's a video about tides that show all these tidal nodes all around the Earth, that there's high tides in the weirdest places at the weirdest times. And the difference in tides in the North versus the South are insane. You know, the North in Alaska, there's like a 30-foot tide, but in the Maldives, there's a 1-foot tide. Okay. The Maldives are on the equator. the Earth is spinning. According to Neil deGrasse Tyson, water is pooling at the equators because of the centrifugal force, but it has the smallest tides. None of that makes any sense whatsoever. And the moon is closer to the equator than it is to Alaska, so it should have the bigger tides, but it doesn't. Neil deGrasse Tyson says that there's a 14-mile-high bulge of water on the equator, but a plane flies at 5,000 miles. So if a plane's flying from the north to the south, when does it climb over that 10-mile hump of water? That extra 10 miles to get over it. It's 15 miles high or 14 miles high. The plane's only at 5 miles at cruising altitude. When does it climb over that hump? And the answer is never, because there is no hump.
You don't go through it like a car wash.
No, there's no hump of water. Water lays flat on Earth. And the tides are have nothing to do with the moon, and that's provable. If you go to my YouTube channel, DITRH, which are the initials for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, and look up my tides playlist. Or the Flat Earth Clock app YouTube channel, and then search tides.
Beautiful. I have a lot of homework to do.
It's never ending. You'll never be bored again. And most of your friends will think you're crazy, but you're going to make some new friends.
And if anything comes out of it, at least you'll realize how special and unique you are as an individual human creation, Deborah.
Well, that's a lovely thing to say.
Yeah.
It's a lovely way to look at things.
Yeah.
And it's not because I want to feel special. I didn't go into this knowing that I'm going to find God, knowing that I'm special, knowing that I'm powerful. That was all like, whoa, that comes along with this. This is interesting. And so
what brought you to this? You said that you had run across it and just dismissed it.
I think before he says anything, it's what I've heard most people that are most dedicated to the flat earth. They came to it kind of the same way as David's going to explain right here.
Yeah. I tried to debunk it. I got tired of people saying, go look at flat earth. And I said, all right, I'm just going to put this to bed. I'm smarter than this. And I tried to prove with a bias, you go in and like, all right, let me see if the earth is flat or round. No, I went in going, I'm going to prove the earth is round and prove flat earth is nonsense. And I came out the other end with the complete opposite inverted outcome. So, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. And flat earth affects every single person on earth every single day. Flat earth is the key to waking up the world, because you can wake up people to 9/11, but guess what? People outside the United States, they don't care about it as much as we do. And people even just away from New York City don't care about it as much as the people that are close to New York City. And, you can wake people up to atrocities like in Gaza, but, people don't even know where Gaza is, right? People forget about that. Flat earth affects every single person every single day, because it has to do with who you are, where you are, what you are, and what you can be. And that's what they're trying to keep from us. They're stealing our souls. They're trying to lure our souls away with their soul lure system.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Let's call it. Deborah's head's too big. David, this has been so great.
Can we come back and do?
Why don't you digest? Do the Flat Earth app challenge for a while. Reach out again. We'll schedule a follow up, and you can have questions. But you're gonna come back as a flat earther. There's no chance that you're gonna, But you might have questions. Happy to do that. But there's no way that after hearing this, and you look like a thinking person, that when you put it together, your subconscious is going to be going, no, don't do this. Cause I've literally ripped the foundation out from underneath you, but that foundation was weak. It was spinning, lost in space. It was thin. It had nothing. It wasn't connected to anything. And I've put another foundation under you, a God created solid earth where you're safe and protected and powerful and special and have amazing abilities. So it's an easy thing to replace your old belief with. It's just hard because before we could talk, we were programmed that the earth is a ball. They put us in all the children's programming, every movie, all of the space movies, all of that has to do with ball programming.
Okay. So, all right, let's go back to when people believed the earth was flat.
You mean in the early 1900s?
prior to that.
Nope, that's a lie. So I interviewed a woman about the World's Fair this January. She's 102 years old. And she had said that she'd gone to the World's Fairs and she was telling me all about it. But then she started telling me about her fifth birthday party and Susie with the pink dress and the coconut cake and the problem. She remembered some drama or something. I'm like, wow, this woman has an amazing memory. And I said, where did you go to elementary school? And she said, right in Connecticut. I went to so-and-so school on so-and-so road in so-and-so town. My kindergarten teacher's name was so-and-so. I said, what did they teach you in elementary school in science class about the earth? And I had never mentioned flat earth. And she looked at me and she goes, they taught me the earth was flat, but then they changed it later on. Okay. This is in the 1920s. So then we found another woman from Croatia. And she said in the 1930s, all of the schools in Croatia were teaching flat earth. So the takeover happened in the late 1800s and early 1900s. We found many microfilm newspaper articles about teachers being persecuted for teaching heliocentrism in the schools. People were freaking out saying it's nonsense. So we've been lied to that we've known the earth is flat for circular. I keep saying flat, spherical for 500 years or 2000 years. That's nonsense. The story of Aristophanes with the sticks and shadows doesn't make any sense, doesn't even prove that the earth is a globe, and we can't find any evidence of that story before Rockefeller textbooks in the 1980s when it was inserted into our school system as a historical fact, when in fact it's a made-up fictional story, okay? So in the early 1900s, let this sink in your head, everybody knew the earth was flat. Everybody. And then they introduced the world wars, the depression, everything else. They went in, they raided museums. They're still doing that. We went into Iraq, went right into the museums, and we took out stuff that Saddam was probably threatening to show the world.
Yeah, blew up buildings.
Yeah, we blew up. It's amazing. They don't want us to know what this earth is. You know, go on my channel, DITRH, and pull up my Gaddafi playlist. Muammar Gaddafi was one of the greatest leaders in the world of all time, and he discovered primary water, which will prove that the earth is flat. But everything they want is a lie. Everything they've taught us is a lie. So you have to clear your head. You have to get other planets out of our head. You know, the most recent planet, a picture of Pluto. Does that look like Pluto's head on Pluto? Okay. This is supposedly taken by traveling at like 60,000 miles an hour with a 1.2 megapixel camera where the sun is the size of a star at that distance. And they got this amazing picture that looks just like Pluto. And by the way, Pluto and the planet Pluto were discovered and created in the same year. Okay. It's nonsense.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that they named a planet after a Disney character?
No, the debunkers will say they named the Disney character after Pluto, but they were both discovered and created in the same year. Okay. I just find it odd that when they took a picture a few years ago, it has a freaking cutout of Pluto on it. Okay. Insane. Head's going to explode. I can keep going and your head's going to explode.
Let's do part two.
All right, we'll do part two.
I want to, you
one
can.
One other thing. Greenland, okay. Mars. Greenland, Mars. Look, you can tell this is Mars because you could see the edge of the rover that took the picture. NASA's full of crap. They're melting people's brains with nonsense.
Yeah. You know what? We need to do an episode on the moon landing as well.
How about yes. I get you somebody else that has better information than me on the moon landing?
I'd love any information that you have on that.
Okay.
And I think you did an amazing job today. I think there's a big old peach seed of doubt planted in Deborah's brain right now. And about once every 4 or 5 episodes, I think there's a transformative.
Deborah, the globe earth has a huge advantage over the flat earth. And it's this, you can just believe it. You were told it, you say, okay, and you're done. You're done. You go take a nap, go play tennis, go do whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. You're done. But if you want to know the truth, you got to search for the truth. You got to listen to this. And now you have a ton of research to do, but I'm going to make it easy for you. Like if you Google flat earth, Google fake moon landings, you're going to get garbage. You're going to get, your mind's going to get tired. You're going to be like, oh, that kind of makes sense. That guy really debunked it. In the flat earth clock app on the web page, there's a debunking the debunkers. So if you ever come across a debunking video, like from National Geographic or something where they prove curvature, go into the debunking the debunkers, find that video, and we break it down for you. We say, look, this is what they did. This is how they faked this. Look where they edited here. You know, we just show you. We're not just saying, hey, they're fake, they're wrong. We're showing you how they're deceiving you. And once you see that they deceive you once, you know, like we see that NASA gets tangled in their wires on the space station, that's it. They're done. The moon landings are fake. You know, just one fake and everything they do unwinds. Everything they do unwinds.
All right.
I'm going to send you the app. Make sure you watch. Please. Did you email me your email?
Not yet.
I'll get her all the info.
Send me that in an email and I'll send you that. And then, we'll go from there and thanks for listening. And now you got some thinking to do.
I have some, yeah.
And if you come across something that you think proves the earth, the ball earth, go into the question marks, find the answer there. If you can't find it there, then you could email me and I'll point you to where the answer is. But I can guarantee you the answer is in there.
All righty.
Thank you so much, David. This is fascinating. This has been awesome. And yeah, really, really good episode.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Send me Deborah, a link when it's listed, and I'll share it around.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. See you, David.
Thanks, bye-bye. Guys. Bye.
Don't leave, Deborah.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. So Dave just signed off. How are you feeling? Yeah.
Terrible. I'm feeling terrible.
You made the noise. Yeah, that's that's a good noise. You feel terrible or you feel good? Or you feel
a
just
little
like,
both. Hey, I feel both. Yeah. Go.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So are you married to the ball still?
We are in therapy. I don't know.
We're
in counseling. We're in marriage.
You're not
counseling.
Quite separated yet, but you're almost you're, there.
We're thinking a lot of different stuff.
The ball hasn't hit you in the mouth yet, but it made you flinch.
Definitely flinching.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're, you know, and take it for what it is. You know, do your own research. That's all we can do. But it's so much more fun to think of it that way. So.
Now, I don't know about all this, too many, I can't think of the word I'm looking for. I was watching something, I believe Emily sent me something, a little video about a woman in a grocery store or something who was unhappy about having to wear a mask, and I watched it, and then it came to an end, and then something else came on, and it was about, I'm going to send it to you because I can't come up with all, but it was about like Pliocene, the master races, the different races and the origins and how, and I think it ties into this, but I don't want to try to talk about it because I'm not going to be able to come up with it, but I'm going to send it to you and then we can talk more about it.
Okay. I'd love that. And I'm glad that you're looking into some stuff. I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't believe in the master race. Apparently you do.
No. Origin stories, master races, but more like, the origins of who we are and how we are. And I believe it has a lot to do with flat earth info.
So. I'm glad we did the episode with Mark Steves first. Where he kind of broke down scientism for us and how it's kind of, that was a deep conversation. But what I can take from all of it is that we're all extremely special that we're all born geniuses and we have it beaten out of us. And, you know, whether it's flat, whether it's a ball, I think it's all related in them trying to make us feel like we're not unique, special, beautiful, individual people. So that's where I'm going to leave it. Any final thoughts for you, or do you want to keep going?
No, I think that's a really, really good place to leave it. And it just sets us up to do more thinking.
Okay. I'll try to link to that app. I always hear him. I listen. I like David. And there's a movie with him on, it used to be on Netflix. They probably took it off because it actually, like, when I was not into any of this at all, I watched it and I was like more sympathetic to him than to the other people. So, it's probably out there. I don't know what it's called. He doesn't promote it, so I don't know what the deal is with it, but yeah, get the app. I'll try to link to the app in the show notes. And then, guys, get at us with these questions. We want questions. And just the value for value model. If you're getting anything out of the show, give us back a little bit. And yeah, I'm really glad we did this episode. It seemed like a quality episode. I was a little upset with the way the last one turned out. So, well, we'll be back soon, guys. And if you can, if you've listened to this just on audio, go back and I'll have it up on our YouTube page also.
Yeah, I would be lost without the visuals. So yeah. I'm really glad he was able to do that for us. That's really great.
Okay, guys.
All right.
That's going to be it. I love you, Deborah. Thank you for being open-minded. You really impressed me today with your questions and your just your general demeanor. It was great. Wow. I love you very much. Thank you guys for listening.
Love you. Love that you're pulling me into this. This is crazy. I never thought I...
We got Chrissy Mayer next week and it's going to be a fun one. She's a really good comedian and she just kind of went down the rabbit hole also. So she's new to it. A little bit more advanced than you, but you know, not much. So we're going to talk and it's going to be fun. That'll be on Friday.
Super.
All right, guys, we're out.
Have a great week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.